Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fresh Take from What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Amy. Today, I'm talking to Dr. Linnea Passalaire. She is the founder of Heal Your Nervous System, a platform that offers tools and resources to help individuals worldwide understand the root cause of anxiety, burnout, overwhelm, and physical and emotional symptoms. Dr. Linnea is a recognized authority on nervous system dysregulation, a sought-after speaker, and the author of a new book we're going to discuss today, Heal Your Nervous System, The Five-Stage Plan to Reverse Nervous System Dysregulation. And on top of all of that, Dr. Passalaire is the mother of four children. Welcome, Dr. Passalaire.
Thank you for having me.
So, as so many of our experts, I feel like their expertise, their interest in the topic begins with a personal story that brings them to this work. So tell us about your own personal experience with nervous system dysregulation.
Well, I was highly dysregulated as, you know, I was a young entrepreneur. I was a practitioner, you know, I was a clinician. So I was an oral surgeon. So I was doing my work. I had a company, a digital health company, and I had just so much going on in my life. And I ended up completely burning out. And so it started showing up as rosacea, IBS, a lot of physical problems, but also emotional problems. I was struggling to be in a relationship. And I had, you know, just so many of the classical signs of burnout. And I had anxiety, high functioning anxiety. You know, on the externally, I seemed to have everything under control, but internally, it was a very different story. So that's when I started actually realizing that I needed to change something. And throughout this journey, you know, there were ups and downs. I learned a lot. I had four children in under 4 years. So I have, you know, there were ups and downs because, of course, I started with this journey. I became more regulated. I was able to, you know, start a relationship and just become a mom. And, you know, I started feeling much better. But still, as of course your audience knows, when you become a mother, everything sort of becomes a disaster again, right? You have to, your brain and your body go through so much change that everything you've learned and everything you feel like you have accomplished is put under a lot of strain. So I had to, you know, like relearn again. And so this process of learning about my dysregulation and then learning to become regulated went through a lot of different phases.
I feel like in the sort of post-pandemic phase that we're in, we're all hearing a lot more about dysregulation. I know I am. Long COVID is thought to be a profound dysregulation of every symptom. But even if you don't have long COVID, if you live through a pandemic, there's some dysregulation perhaps in play. And it's a lot more than being, it's not like when you're extra jittery, you're high strung, you're nervous. It's tell our listeners what dysregulation can look like, because it's truly global. It affects everything.
Yeah, it can look in very different way. And so I'm a big proponent of understanding the early signs and taking care of them early on. So when you mention, you know, feeling nervous, feeling high strung, etc., that is an initial sign that your body and nervous system are spending a lot of time in highly activated states. And over time, this chronic activation of the nervous system can lead to dysregulation. So it's not just acute stressors like maybe a viral infection or, you know, going through, you know, having a baby, which is a major disruptor and a major change. So this acute situations can lead to dysregulation, but also, you know, lower states of activations that go on for a very long time. So, for example, we spend so much time in this cognitively activated state where we are constantly worrying, ruminating, thinking about things. And this is, at least for me, it was, and for many people, it is the beginning of all this process. So I'm a big proponent of, you know, learning about these early signs and starting the work as early as possible, because problems arise when your nervous system doesn't have enough time to rejuvenate and to spend time in those, you know, restorative states. There are states of the nervous system where particularly, you know, at night or in deep rest, when you're meditating, or certain activities that allow you to access a state of deep relaxation and deep restoration, that time is crucial because the nervous system and the entire body goes through repairing processes. And so when you are, you know, constantly thinking, constantly worrying, constantly ruminating, your nervous system is not able to spend enough time in those states, because your rest, your time to rest, becomes really, you know, reduced and low quality. And so the problem is, if this happens over a long period of time, all these biological processes that keep your body and brain well-regulated sort of go awry, and it becomes really hard for your body to recuperate. And so that's where symptoms start to show up.
You get sort of stuck, you say in the book, you get stuck in this sort of higher state of stress. And it's not that you never want to be there. It's that you, I think a lot of us, anybody who lived through the pandemic knows what it was like to be in a constant state of rumination and wondering and risk weighing and what we were going to let our kids do, not do, were they safe? It doesn't have to be super stressful running from a bear stress. It's the stress under that, the cognitive alertness, as you say in the book. If you spend too much time there, which good luck not spending too much time there if you're a mom, right? Then you can get kind of stuck, and then your body doesn't know how to downshift from there. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. So to explain the difference between a regulated nervous system and a dysregulated nervous system, I use the analogy of the fern. So the fern is able to, you know, it's not like it doesn't bend or it doesn't go through stressors. So it's okay to go through stressors. And actually, our body and brain thrive under stressors. The problem is, we are not designed to be under stressors for an unlimited amount of time. We're designed to be under even intense stress, but for short times. So when this becomes, you know, our daily life, and unfortunately our modern life is completely immersed in this kind of constant, you know, constant stressors, even if you don't consider, you know, all of the social and economical, etc. problems, even just your own life, being spending so much time indoors. We're not designed to spend all of this time indoors. We need to spend time outdoors. We need to spend time moving. We need to follow our circadian rhythm. So all of these create chronic stressors on the nervous system, and they don't allow the nervous system to essentially rejuvenate. And so that's when it becomes stuck. So that fern that I was mentioning in the beginning, it doesn't happen anymore, that ebb and flow that happens with a fern. It becomes stuck. And so a dysregulated nervous system is essentially a nervous system that is stuck in these states of high alert, and it doesn't spend enough time in these other states of restoration and relaxation, or even just, you know, in a flowing state. So we could have a slightly activated state, but that's not enough to constantly trigger our rumination. So I also, one of the things I talk about in the book, and one of the core elements of what we teach, is teaching people to recognize in real time where their stress response is and how their body and nervous system are responding to stress in that specific moment.
I see. Something you said in the book that really jumped out at me, like, oh, I get it now. This is when you spend too much time in these higher states that your body has to work harder to activate your parasympathetic response, the response that relaxes you and calms you down. It forgets how to do that, is it? Or is it just that it's so much harder to do it because things have swung so far?
So it learns to become activated a lot more easily. So it learns to spend time in that state. And so the work that needs to be done in order to heal this dysregulation is essentially teach your body and brain again to access these states of rest and to spend more time there. And so this is like, it's really something that happens at the synapses level. It becomes very easily activated, this kind of stress response. It becomes, you know, like super easy to just get into those states. And so that's part of the work that needs to be done. It's about, you know, changing these neuronal responses so that they are not so easy to be activated anymore, and teach the nervous system to return more easily and more quickly and more flexibly to a state of regulation.
That makes sense. I'm talking to Dr. Linnea Pasteler. She is the founder of Heal Your Nervous System and the author of the new book of the same name, and we'll be right back. Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew, and believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies, and as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SPORTSRESEARCH, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order. So, Dr. Pasteler, in the book, you walk through an elevator that you can start to conceive yourself as moving through all the different states and understanding that. Because the first step is recognizing, as you said, oh, this is my stress response. I carry it here. I become more sensitive to light when I've had a bad day or something like that. So explain the elevator, how it works and how somebody can start to conceive it.
Yeah. And I think especially for me as a mom, I remember this was a very transformative experience when I started applying this to myself, because sometimes, you know, we have these big responses and it's very like we feel guilty, we feel bad about ourselves. And so the more we follow that narrative of, you know, not feeling good enough and feeling guilty, the more difficult it is to return to a state of regulation. But when I was able to understand what was going on and why my body and brain were responding in a certain way to certain situations and recognize that, that actually allowed me like that little gap, that moment where I could say, oh, okay, my body and brain are responding in this way to this situation because this is a physiological response. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I'm a bad mom or I'm doing something wrong. I just need to be aware of this response and take the necessary steps so that I can manage it. So instead of judging myself, like becoming aware of the biology behind it was super helpful. So that's something that I think, especially as a mom, is really crucial. And so that's why we created this elevator. And essentially what we did is we put together all of the research. There's a lot of research on the stress response that's come out, especially in the last 10 years, and especially with with the COVID pandemic, there's like a big influx of studies on the stress response. And so we're learning about it a lot more. And so we know that it's a lot more complicated and more, you know, there's so many pieces that are moving. It's not just one part of the brain or one part of the body. There's a lot of different things that are happening when your stress or your fear response are activated. So we try to simplify everything in this model of the elevator. And essentially, the idea is to be able to observe your stress response as it moves through these different stages of activation, as if you were moving through an elevator. And so the baseline is the blue state. So in this state, this is, you know, at the bottom of the elevator. This is the state that I was talking about earlier, where we have, you know, our nervous system, our body are in this state of deep rest. And we want to spend enough time, like our body and brain are designed to need to spend enough time in those states. It's one thing that researchers haven't figured out yet. Why, through, you know, millions of years of evolution, we have now been able to sort of evolve out of needing this deep rest. But we do need it. So it's like a vital process for our body and brain. So we need to spend enough time in this state. This is where we feel calm, relaxed. Our body and brain are in a very low state of activation. And it's usually when we sleep or when we meditate or when we do like an activity that is like very calming and very restorative. Once we start bringing in a little more activation, so the sympathetic nervous system is a little more activated, we move up the elevator to the green state. So in this green state, this is where we are in our flow. That's where we do our best work, because we're in the perfect combination of activation and relaxation. So we are focused. We can, you know, we're in a flow. We're working really well. We can perform well. So for example, right now, you know, I'm talking to you. I'm, you know, activated, but I'm also quite relaxed. So I'm speaking. That's an example of a green state. Once we move a little bit more on the up on the elevator, we get to this yellow state. This is the state of this cognitive activation. And this is the state where people, especially in the modern world, spend most of their time. They're constantly thinking, ruminating, they're in their head. And again, it's not just because, you know, it's our life is designed to force us to spend so much time in this state. We are, you know, we're worried about everything that's going on in our life. At the same time, we're trying to do our job. Maybe we're taking care of children. So this state of chronic activation becomes the norm, becomes the place where we spend most of our time. And it's usually a place where we are disconnected from the body. The body is very activated in this state. It's not in a full-blown, you know, like fight or flight response yet, but it's that chronic slight activation that really eventually burns us out. And then, of course, there's an extreme response, which is the stress. The red state further up the elevator, where we're in a full-blown, you know, sympathetic response. And so maybe we are feeling very anxious. We're feeling, you know, even maybe a panic attack. Like, you know, these are states where we are strongly activated, like something is really wrong. And we are feeling, you know, our heart beats fast, our breath is shallow and quick. So all of the body is activated in a way that is preparing it to either fight or flight or respond to a big threat. So these are the states. There's an additional state, which we call the purple state. This is an extreme stress response where our body and brain essentially shut down. We call this the purple state. And it's a state that's associated with an extreme panic attack, tonic immobility, or even traumatic situation. Unfortunately, when people go through, you know, a big traumatic stressor, an acute stressor, they can respond by passing out, by feeling completely, you know, immobilized and powerless in a situation. So that's kind of an extreme situation that researchers are still understanding, and it can be a very traumatic experience to go through. So, but this is kind of an extreme state. And in general, most people spend a lot of time, as we said, in this highly activated state. So the big problem where most of this regression comes from is from essentially spending, not spending enough time in restorative states.
And as you said, yellow, like yellow state is like, oh, you're late for school and then I have a meeting and then this and then I don't know what's for dinner and who's going to pick up the kids. And that is yellow state. It's not good or bad. It's just true that many of us spend most of our lives there. You don't have to be a firefighter to live in a state of constant sort of activation. And I hadn't really thought about that before reading this book. And so was the first step being aware of that? Like, oh, this is, wow, when I look back at my day-to-day, I really did spend most of my time in this state versus that state?
Yeah. So the first step is always becoming aware of, you know, what's going on and becoming aware in real time of what our body and brain are doing. And then it can be counterintuitive, but one of the first things that we do with people when we help them through our program, through our community, is to not necessarily take action on it. Because one of the problems is that when people are struggling with symptoms of anxiety, of, you know, physical symptoms, they want a quick fix. They want to get relief. And that's totally understandable. But the problem is that they then enter into this cycle of looking for a quick fix to find relief quickly and essentially do anything. Like, they will try 100 things, many things at the same time. So they will get a little bit of relief for a brief time, and then something happens, they discontinue what they're doing, or, you know, and it becomes a cycle, because then symptoms pop up again, or a new symptom comes out, and then they feel like a failure. And so then they start again the cycle because they try something else. And so we see people all the time who have been through these cycles multiple times. And so they start believing that they're broken, that there's something wrong with them, and they can't really heal, and they can't really, you know, regulate or heal a dysregulated nervous system. Whereas we know that if you implement, you know, a strategy, and if you are patient, like if you're not fixed on getting, you know, quick relief, which is what we keep being offered and we hear all the time, but the reality is that quick fixes in this situation don't work. You need to have the patience and the, you know, put in the effort so that things can change. And that's why one of the first steps that we talk about is awareness. In the awareness state, we are working to create that gap where we are seeing the trigger, we are responding to it, but we're observing ourselves and we're leaving enough space, which then, you know, this little space, this little gap allows us to create a new response, a new neurobiological response. That's where things start to really change.
We've talked with Carla Naumburg, was another guest we had on the show. So I'll put a link to that interview in the show notes for this episode. We talked a lot about that, creating that gap, that space and the pause. But you described it in a way I'd never heard before that I thought was so particularly pertinent for parenting. And that's dog mind versus lion mind. Can you tell everybody how that plays out?
Yes, I love that analogy. And it's essentially when we are in the face of a stressor or a trigger or a situation that can potentially create, you know, like just pull us in. If we are in a dog mind, we are focused. If we think about a bone, and if we, let's say we wave the bone in front of the dog's eyes, right? And then we throw it away, the dog will be focused on the bone. And so the dog will go and chase the bone. So if we control the bone, we control the dog's reality. On the other hand, if you do the same thing with a lion, the lion is certainly not going to be, you know, disrupted by the bone. It will be focused on you. Maybe it will eat you. But the point is, you don't control the lion's reality, because the lion is able to keep his eyes on the entire situation. So the bone is just a piece of that reality. So when we are able to start shifting from dog mind, where we are constantly chasing the triggers and we get, you know, we start ruminating on something, we just become completely dysregulated because of a situation. On the other hand, if we can switch to lion, where we are able to, you know, just sit there and observe the situation and just take the time before we respond strongly to something. That's this whole idea of, you know, switching and creating this pause and creating enough time for our body and brains to not respond immediately, but assess the situation. And then over time, this is not an immediate process, but over time, something new can emerge. So one of the studies that we have seen is there are studies on quitting smoking. And so when you essentially submit to this urge to smoke immediately versus observing that urge and not taking action on it immediately, even if you then end up smoking, these two things, these two different attitudes, over time lead to a reduction of, you know, smoking and a reduction of dependence on smoke. That's because when you allow your body and brain to just take time and do that pause that we were talking about and observe what's happening, that's really going to, it has a huge potential to allow you to create a new response. So even if then you end up, you know, lashing out or doing that negative thing that you wouldn't want to do, just giving yourself the time to understand and observe why this is happening before it happens, over time will lead you to do that less. So you will become more in control of things over time.
I'm talking to Dr. Linnea Pasolaire. She is the author of Heal Your Nervous System. We'll be back.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
Linnea, I wanted to ask you about one other term that's in the book that, again, hadn't heard of it before. I thought, oh, but I know what that is. And it's another something, it's yet another thing that would require attention and time to sort of recognize and then try to undo. And it's embedded alarms, that each of us have these sort of embedded alarms that can really set us off. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So we talk about the stress response, but another crucial process of our body and brain is the fear response. And they're like cousins. So they use a lot of the same processes in the body and brain, a lot of the same circuits. They get activated. And so the fear response is a little bit different because it can teach us very quickly to learn, you know, to respond to something that happens. So the fear response is very quick and it's very easy to be modeled. So it learned super quickly. So what happens is when we go through an experience that triggers this fear response, our body and brain very quickly learn from that experience. So most of the times, even in major situations where our threat response is activated very strongly, so let's say a traumatic stressor, okay, like a really traumatic situation, most of the time we know from the evidence, from the science, that our body and brain are designed over time to essentially flush out this experience. So we learn, but we are able to, you know, go through it and heal automatically. So we don't need to really put a lot of effort because our body and brain are designed to do that. So most of the times, this process works really well, even for people who went through major, major traumatic events. So this study by Bonanno was done on people who went through the 9/11 events. And so they saw that most of the people were able to essentially flush out these difficult experiences within a year or sometimes a little bit longer. Sometimes, however, people go on and develop, you know, long-term consequences. So this is a minority of situations, and this can even become, you know, what we call PTSD. So an actual diagnosis and an actual situation that requires treatment. There are some, you know, intermediate situations where people learn something that becomes, you know, a potential trigger in their life. And so we can't really say that, you know, it's a traumatic experience or that it's trauma, but it's definitely I call it an embedded alarm. It's something that really has remained in our body and brain, and it can create like a very, very strong response. And we don't really understand why or how. So to give an example, I had an accident when I was younger, when I was on a pickup truck and it was riding up like a very steep road, and we had an accident. And so now whenever I go with my car, you know, and I go through on a steep road, it just activates my body and brain very strongly. So I can't say I'm traumatized, but I can definitely say that there's an embedded alarm there that I can probably take care of, and I could work to, you know, remove this memory. But it's a sign. It's something that's remained there. It's a very strong memory. And so this is just an example, but we all have difficult situations that may have created these very strong responses.
And so this dysregulation can be mild, moderate, severe. You walk through all of this in the book, and it can show up not just as sort of unhappiness, but as you were saying, physical ailments, sometimes a whole host of physical ailments that don't make sense, that your medical providers don't necessarily see the whole field or aren't considering that this could be nervous system dysregulation. And so it takes people a long time and a lot of dysregulation to come to this point where they're able to do this work. Does that then make it harder to begin? I mean, the book is full of wonderful solutions and a lot of optimism that our brains remain neuroplastic through our whole lives so that this work is always possible. But do you have to have more patience, the sort of more different things there are to undo?
Yeah. So when we get to a place where our body and brain are, you know, bearing the cost, the price of years and years of dysregulation, there's a lot of work to do. And so people have symptoms like, you know, chronic fatigue, IBS, skin problems, like all of these problems that typically, you know, so one of the problems we have is that the medical field is very siloed. So medicine is really great when it comes to addressing a specific condition that focuses on one part of the body. But when there's something that, you know, has many symptoms across the body, it becomes really hard. And so I call this the pinball effect in the book. And it's like when something goes wrong in the body and, you know, this stress response becomes chronically activated, it's like all of the symptoms, all of the different systems of the body that are connected to the nervous system, which is all of the systems and organs of the body, of course, they are impacted. And so causes and consequences become intertwined. So we start showing up symptoms everywhere, and this can create a lot of confusion. So we become very demotivated because we can't find a doctor that can really help us to treat that condition in a holistic way. So I'm a big proponent of becoming our own, you know, chief medical officer, where we use medicine and the medical system as we need, but we also are able to embark on our own healing journey, and we can really sort of start addressing all of these things at the root. And this means addressing dysregulation and creating new systems in the body, new way for us to respond to stress, so that all these symptoms over time can essentially go away because we are taking care of the root cause.
You offer in the book so many solutions, so many different ways to come at this and approach sort of a downshifting, getting the parasympathetic nervous system to activate, which has to be very deliberate, right? We can't just relax on the couch looking at our phone more. That's not going to change this. We have to be deliberate. But I wanted to underline again what you said before, that it's better to pick one or two things and do them very consistently rather than like, I tried all 40 once and it didn't work for me, so none of this will work. Do you see that resistance a lot with people who are just sort of beginning the journey? Like, I drank lemon water for 2 days and nothing changed.
I mean, I think people are looking for relief and they're looking for quick relief because they're in pain. But I think what really makes a huge difference is having a strategy. Like, you know, even implementing just one solution really well, but not having a strategy and a clear plan makes a big difference. So that's why with this book and with our work with our within our community, we apply a strategy, a clear strategy. And that's why we have divided it in 5 stages, because when you are going through this work, you need to understand really clearly what you're trying to do, why you're trying to do it, and what is the sequence. There is a sequence to this work. That's something that's, I think, really missing from the conversation. When we are dealing with deep things like, again, trauma or attachment problems or even burnout, we need to follow a sequence where first we're able to create a sense of safety and create and return our stress response to a state of calm. Once we are more in control of our body and brain, that's where we can do the deep work of healing from these difficult patterns and difficult things that we have, unfortunately, accumulated. So that's why I'm a big proponent of following a strategy and sticking to a strategy. It makes a huge difference for people.
Tell us a little bit about your community and how that works.
So we have an assessment where we help people understand their level of dysregulation because there's not an existing tool that is validated by research. This is all really new and we're just starting to understand. And so for me, the first step that I have people go through is really understand, first of all, their dysregulation level, their sensitivity level, because we all respond in a different way to stress. And so really learning about the uniqueness of our stress response and why it is that way. And that really, like, people respond a lot to that because when they start understanding why their body and brain are responding in a certain way, it changes everything. It changes their internal narratives about themselves. And then we essentially lead them on a journey to address these different stages. And they can, and we see a lot of great results on, you know, with people who have struggled with for years with symptoms like, you know, chronic fatigue, anxiety, burnout, physical symptoms, you know, because as you mentioned, we tend to think that, you know, emotional symptoms are one thing and physical symptoms are another thing. But the reality is that they are, you know, two faces of the same problems. So when we address one, we're having an impact on the other and vice versa. So that's exactly what we help people with in the community.
I've been talking to Dr. Linnea Pasoler. She is the author of the new book, Heal Your Nervous System, The 5-Stage Plan to Reverse Nervous System Dysregulation. I highly recommend this book. I'll put the link in the show notes to everywhere that you can find the book. Dr. Pasoler, tell our listeners where else they can find you and your work. And the group and the community.
So they can find us online at healyournervoussystem.com. That's our website. And we, you know, we have a blog. We have our community there. And then on Instagram, of course, we have a large community on Instagram. And then, of course, they can read the book and they'll find, I think, a lot of help in that too.
Absolutely. So many great resources on the website and so many in this book. Dr. Pasoler, thank you for talking to me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors. And somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.